Todd, good morning, Keith.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Now, what is your title with the Kentucky Highway Department?
Well, I am the Public Information Officer for District 1, and so we try to share what the district is doing, what our engineers are doing, what our crews are doing. So it keeps me busy.
Yeah.
So we've got 12 counties. We serve the 12 westernmost counties of Kentucky. And a lot of stuff going on. Of course, we've got the wind warning today. We want everybody to be extra careful. Even, you know, we talk a lot about when we have some kind of wind event, you know, that trucks need to be cautious because, you know, large vehicles like RVs, that have a high profile that catch the wind. But even if you're driving today, if you're driving around trucks and other large vehicles, give them plenty of room because it's going to be pretty crazy today. As I understand it, this may be the only the second time since they started, the National Weather Service started issuing their wind warnings. This is the second one we have. Now, back when we had Hurricane Ike come through, some people may remember that. We had a lot of wind with that. Within an hour of the wind whipping up with Hurricane Ike, when it came, the remnants of it came through, we had like four semis overturned on I-24 within an hour.
Okay.
And I think by the end of the day, we had maybe five or six overturned from where the wind hit them and rolled them over. So it's going to be that kind of day, particularly after about noon today. So if you're going to be out driving on Interstate 69, Interstate 24, you know, give those trucks and RVs plenty of room.
Yeah, that's what I, yesterday when we got the high wind warning, I emailed Bo Dotson back and I said, I don't ever remember one of these. And he said, this is only our second one. And they didn't even have this during Ike.
I think Ike was about 2009 or so. And that I can't remember what they actually used in, but there wasn't a wind warning. They've changed up some of the warnings so they can be a little bit more specific. And we didn't have this back when it came through. Hurricane Ike and Hurricane Rita came through within, you know, a year or two of each other in both of those events. I think, I can't remember if, I want to say it was Hurricane Ike that we lost about $1 million worth of road signs that were blown down because it was just such an extraordinary event.
So and, how do you keep your personnel? I mean, as many miles of roads as they cover, there's going to be trees down today. There's going to be limbs down.
Part of this morning, I'm sure a lot of our crews are sharpening their chainsaws and getting them fueled up, making sure that they've got plenty of fuel mixed up, ready to go for their chainsaws, and they're ready to roll if we have to. Of course, we've had some rain over the last week, so the soil is still kind of moist, and especially if we get any more rain with this system, it's going to make it real easy for some trees to blow over. It's really kind of funny because going back to the ice storm of 2009, because it took down so many trees that were along the roadway, we really didn't have a big problem with downed trees for a lot of years, but it's been long enough now that trees have grown back out, limbs have grown back out, that kind of thing. And so we are starting to have a little bit more of an issue with downed trees than we had for several years after the ice storm of 2009.
Yeah, I remember. Was it last week you were sending out?
We had a few last week, just kind of sporadic around the area. And the crews are really good at that. We used to try to report where those were. We try to let the National Weather Service know where they were as part of their monitoring of what's going on. But our crews usually move so fast that if they've got trees down, they'll just usually say, we've got trees down in southern Marshall County, and they go cut them up and get them out of the road. A lot of the volunteer fire departments also are good about helping out with getting trees out of the road. It's a kind of an all-hands-on-deck kind of thing when you get one of those events where you have a lot of downed trees.
Yep, so be listening to the radio. Keith will be sending us information, and we'll pass it along 24 hours a day, Keith.
Yep, appreciate y'all. Appreciate y'all doing that.
Now, last week, you guys had a public meeting in Paducah to talk about maybe some improvements along U.S. 62.
We actually had a meeting in Calvert City at the Civic Center. We're looking at doing improvements between Lone Valley Road We do have a Lone Star Road in the area, but it's in McCracken County. Lone Valley Road at Calvert City and Kennedy Avenue, which is out near the McDonald's, out near Exit 27, running along US 62 up to the Kentucky 95 Main Street intersection. It's about a 1 mile section there that we're going to be doing some improvements on. We had four different options for the intersection at Kennedy. Is it Kennedy Drive? I think it's Kennedy Drive, actually. Kennedy Drive and Lone Valley Road. And because those two intersections are so close together, we have a pretty high crash rate there, and it's difficult for trucks to negotiate through there. So we're looking at the possibility of a roundabout there. Also have a couple of proposals for more traditional intersections. And if something happened that you didn't get to attend our meeting in Calvert City, those displays are available at our office. Our office is in Reedland. We're at 5501 Kentucky Dam Road in Reedland. Just look up Kentucky Transportation Cabinet, Department of Highways for Paducah, and you can get the address. Come by. We're there 7 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. You can come by and look at the displays and fill out a comment form. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you would prefer. One of the things, the section from Lone Valley Road to Kentucky 1523 Oak Park Boulevard, right now the proposal is to do a three-lane, so you'd have a center turn lane there, which would greatly enhance traffic flow through that area because you wouldn't have to stop when somebody's making a left turn. I know there are a few folks that said that they would like for that to be a four-lane, and so that's one of the things that we're probably going to look at. Of course, that takes a lot more money, so sometimes it's how much money do you have and what's going to work best here, you know, with the money that we have available for our projects. A lot of different things go into it, but we need a lot of public input. We appreciate folks that come by and let us know, hey, here's what I think would work, because that really helps to guide our engineers and our design staff when we're working on a project.
Yeah, and you guys do take those public comments to heart.
Right.
I mean, because I-69, without the public comments, it was totally going to be changed from what it is now.
It would look very different, yes. So we really appreciate the folks that came by to the public meeting. And if you didn't get a chance to come by our office in Paducah. Like, say, we're there 7 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. You can look at the displays and provide comments at that time. And I think that's open. That comment period is open until March the 8th, maybe, somewhere in there. Yes, because our meeting was on February the 7th. So, March the 8th will be the closeout date for comments on that.
Okay, and you've got another public meeting coming up next week to discuss Draffenville.
We've got one coming up in Draffenville. Of course, anybody who travels the US 68 corridor from the high school out to Interstate 69 is aware of some of the congestion through that area, particularly in the morning and afternoon when school's letting out, that kind of thing. So we have some proposals there. It'll be really innovative because it would use roundabouts. So, and one of the things that I hadn't thought about, I remember my daughter talking about not being able to drive that section of US 68 without getting caught by a stoplight. Imagine being able to drive through there and not having to stop at a stoplight. Mm. So that's one of the things we're going to be looking at. We'd like for people to come by. That meeting is going to be at the high school gymnasium. Okay. It's going to be coming up on the 20th. Hang on, what's our date here?
Today's the 14th.
We
know that.
Yeah, hang on. I've got my date here. Where did it go? Oh, it's going to be on the 28th. I come up with that. It's going to be on the 28th from 5 to 7 p.m. It's going to be at the Marshall County High School gym, and it's going to be in the Upper Commons area, if you're familiar with that. And, of course, most everybody can find the high school. It's going to be an open format meeting, kind of like what we had at Calvert City, where you can come in at your convenience. Take a few minutes, look at the displays. You can talk to the engineers and design staff that are working on the project, provide them with both oral and written comments. And again, that information, that feedback helps to guide the planning process as we go forward to eventually get, I mean, we're probably still, you know, a couple of years out from getting it to construction, but this will help guide us through that planning and design process.
Now, for some people who are listening, we're talking with Keith Todd with the Kentucky Transportation Department. You were mentioning these roundabouts are being considered on both these projects. Tell people what a roundabout actually is.
Well, a roundabout is essentially a... Well, it's not a traffic circle is something different, but it is a circle that allows you, instead of having to come to a complete stop, you would yield to traffic within the circle. And so it allows you, on some occasions when traffic is not very heavy, to just drive right through. It's more like you're merging to go the direction that you want to go, as opposed to making a turn or having to wait for a signal. And again, you know, imagine being able to drive all the way from the high school to Interstate 69 and not have to stop at a stoplight. I don't think I've ever been through there that I didn't have to stop maybe a couple of times at stoplights. So each of the intersections through there, the US 641 South intersection, the US 641 North intersection, and then the intersections at each end of the I-69 ramps would become roundabouts. And it would allow almost a continuous flow of traffic through that area. So we want people to come through and look. There's about, from what I remember, there are just over 15,000 vehicles a day travel that section. So it's a pretty busy section. And it's, I think, a little less than a mile. And so we just want everybody to come out, give us feedback, look at the displays, look at the proposals and alternates, and give us some feedback.
And that's, the meeting is, tell everyone.
That's going to be on February 28th. It's going to be at the Marshall County High School Gym, Upper Commons. It'll be from 5 to 7 p.m. You don't have to show up at any particular time. You can come by. There will be a video that you can watch that will explain how traffic will flow. There will be some demonstrations there. And then we'll have some displays of the layout so that you can actually look at it. You know, take your time, look at it at your own pace, and then talk to the design consultants and our engineering staff and actually provide input on it. And again, you can also provide written comments. And this will be the same as the Calvert City meeting that we had, that once the meeting's over, you'll be able to come by our office and look at it if something happens that you can't make it to the meeting. But we would really urge everybody, particularly if you travel through that area, if you have property along that section, if you have a business along that section, come to this meeting on February 28th and let us know what you think.
Okay. This is Coffee Kyle on WCBL. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back with Keith Todd.